Also this will be soon reality, that we enter there into glory. I wish you all, with all my heart, a blessed Pentecost. And not only a Pentecost as a feast, as a memory, but the experience itself on Pentecost as it was then. Brother Rus found me this morning. He sends greetings to all of you, and they regret that they cannot be here today. But in the spirit, they are joined with us. Let us sing together hymn 129, the oil of joy the Lord has poured upon my head. The oil of joy the Lord has poured upon my head. From where did this blessing come to me? I believed his word. Holy anointing, remain on me. Divine Comforter, lead all my doings. The last two stanzas. You, the Spirit of Truth, lead me now into all truth. Let me, I pray thee, always rest in Christ. Transfigure my Savior to me in the innermost bottom of the heart. So I want to thank you at all times with my heart, hand, and mouth. May the Lord grant all this. See the fire falling down onto the altar. Alone this thought is of greatest significance. In the Old Testament, the people laid the sacrifice upon the altar, and the fire fell on the sacrifice, but only after the sacrifice was laid upon the altar. The fire didn't fall on the altar. It didn't fall on the sacrifice. It only fell on the sacrifice when it was laid upon the altar. The altar is important. The sacrifice is important. Both belong together. And then God answers. Is this not a whole sermon? The fire falls upon the altar. Elijah built 7 altars and laid 7 sacrifices on it. And he rebuilt the altar. And then the fire fell down. Everywhere and always, the fire fell. Not next to the altar, upon the altar, but first when the sacrifice was laid upon the altar. And do you know when it was on the altar? When it was killed. When it was offered. As long as it still ran around, it was not yet a sacrifice. It was just a sacrificial animal or sacrificial lamb. But in the moment when it was offered, it could be laid upon the altar. Beloved, God gathers us in his presence, but the altar of God is built. and there must be sacrifices who have died, sacrifices which one can lay upon the altar, must be laid upon it. People who were crucified with Christ, who died with him, who don't lash about, but who can be laid upon the altar of God. And then the fire of God falls. Beloved, we cannot wait for the fire unless we are ready to become the sacrifice which is laid upon the altar. And then we no longer need to worry about the fire and God's answer. Right here the question, are you, am I really ready to lay our will fully into the will of God? Are we ready to become a sacrifice on this altar? Christ, the Lamb of God, became the sacrificial lamb and was laid upon the altar and was crucified. We, as living sacrifices, we shall lay ourselves upon the altar of God. And then it says, which is your reasonable service. A service without that we lay ourselves onto the altar of God will have not the effect which it should have. And today is Pentecost, a memory on that day on which the divine life came back into the redeemed multitude, namely the Spirit of God. And I think it would be good if we today, all of us, prayerfully would be gathered here under the sound of the word. And not only prayerfully, but also believing, and not only that, but being ready to be obedient. Abraham was obedient. Isaac said, here is the wood and the fire. Where is the sacrifice? And Abraham said, the Lord will provide for himself a sacrifice. And the one who asked was the sacrifice. Today, we are the ones who ask. And we are the sacrifice which belongs unto the altar of God. Before that, there will be no progress with the church of the living God. Nothing else but just lying on the altar of God without any own will, all surrendered to God, saying, Lord, do with me what you like. And this may not just be said with the lips. This must have been meant with the heart. And this requires the grace of our God. There's another song which we will sing together. The day of salvation dawned for me. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let us stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, together we come into your holy presence, O God. You are claiming your blood-bought multitude. You made an end to our own ways so that we can walk on your way. Our own opinions, our thoughts, yes, everything what came from us, you brought it to an end. You gathered us in your holy presence at the door of the tabernacle. Hallelujah. Faithful God, because of the perfect sacrifice on the cross of Calvary, we are also coming and we lay ourselves before you, O God. We want that your fire falls. Give us grace, faithful God, in obedience to your word, to lay ourselves onto your altar as being crucified with you, as having died with you, so that we can rise with you unto a new life, that the Spirit works in us. Faithful God, may this day be not just a day of memory, but become divine reality in our hearts, in our lives, in our midst. Lord, unite us in prayer, in your presence, and give us the faith toward you and toward your word, so that you can answer. You are the God who answers with fire. You are the God of Elijah. Lord, we thank you that you, at the end of days, you have sent a prophet in the spirit and in the power of Elijah to rebuild the altar of God. O Lord, give grace that we lay ourselves on it and that you could answer, faithful God, that we not only speak of the things, but that we become a part of it. O God, be merciful to us. Be merciful to us that we have this divine balance, that we find it. I feel that the Spirit of God is present in this room. The Lord is present to bless, to give us that what we ask for. Both is necessary. To not quench the Spirit, this means to let him move, and to not grieve the Spirit, but to remain in the working of God, in the divine order, so that nobody is disturbed. Here is a divine harmony. The blessing is pouring down. Hallelujah. O God, look at your people graciously. Bless, Lord, your inheritance. Lord, give grace in this morning hour, that under the sound of your word, faith might be worked, and that this faith is crowned with an experience with God. Faithful Lord, if there are unbelievers amongst us, may they become believers. The lost shall be saved. Lord, in this meeting, we ask you that nobody gets out empty-handed. You have the fullness. We thank you for it. And we praise your wonderful and holy name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, let us raise our voices with one accord in a moderate tone, and let each one thank the Lord with all his heart. Hallelujah. Faithful God, you see and know us, each one of us, O Lord. You know the motives of our hearts, Lord. We don't want any self-made things, Lord. Self-made life. But Lord, we want to have the life of the Spirit from you, Lord. The moving of the Spirit in an order and liberty. Work it yourself, our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. For we are not able, O God, but to you, the true one, we look up, Lord. You are the one who is the life. You are the one who has given the life, Lord. You are the one who gives the life. Lord, we thank you. I ask you, Lord, start to work in every heart, in each one, for the praise of your name. We thank you for the day which you have given us. This day is made of you, a day of reality, Lord. We ask you, Lord Jesus Christ, come into our midst, come into our hearts. Let us honor and praise you, lifting up your name, for you are worthy to receive all the praise, all the worship, all the glory, Lord. Bless from the riches of your grace. Bless your word, Lord, that it works, that it doesn't return void, but as the snow and the rain accomplishes for what you are sending it for. Lord, we want that you save, that you heal, that you bless, that you baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Amen. Hallelujah. Thanks be unto the Lord, to the living God, who works all in all, and sometimes in a different way as we would like to see it, and nevertheless we are happy about it. Important is that we do not let God's working pass us by, but that we take God's gracious visitation seriously, that we realize it, for the Spirit of God works on our hearts. And if we behave like at home or in a closet at such times, then it only shows that we don't put on a mask, but are the way we are. And that's how God wants us, and not otherwise. Because one day we will appear before him as we are. And then we will see as he is, and will be changed into his image and be as he is. Today, I would like to read two scriptures in particular. Before I do this, I would like to come back briefly to Ezekiel 16 that we just touched upon last night. We were reading here from chapter 16, from verse 4, and have stopped with verse 9, but this verse I didn't read to the end, and therefore I would like to do it now, namely the second part. I swear unto thee, and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God. And thou becamest mine. Then washed I thee with water. Yea, I thoroughly washed away thy blood from thee. And I anointed thee with oil. I clothed thee also with broidered work. Perhaps so far this precious word. Here are some statements which touch our hearts. I swear unto thee, and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. This is something wonderful. Already in the Old Testament, the plan of salvation was foretold. In the new, it became reality. I entered into a covenant with thee, and I swear unto thee. Paul could write with a joyful heart. If we get unfaithful, yet he abideth faithful. For he cannot deny himself. His covenant is an eternal covenant, not depending of you and of me, but out of a free will of love, he has begotten us by the word of truth unto a living hope. He saw us lying, helpless, hopeless, and then he helped us by, on the cross of Calvary, paying the full price. And I have said this before or written it. The Holy Spirit, or the baptism of the Holy Spirit, testifies that it is the down payment for our bodily redemption. But the blood of the Lamb was no down payment for the salvation of our soul, but the full price was paid on the cross of Calvary. And the Lord said, "Thou art mine. I have redeemed you, and I called you by your name." So, he speaks of the covenant, of the faithfulness, and that we became his possession. Now, listen what is written in this verse. Then washed I thee with water. On which word do we think here? On the scripture of the washing of water by the word. A bath in the Word. And we are convinced that there was never such a full bath, spiritually speaking, as in these days. If there should be a container in which the water of God is used as cleansing water, as it was in the Old Testament, then I think that it could go over the banks. God has revealed such a full word as never before. And for this we are grateful. So, not just a light wash to then say, but I have washed myself. I don't know if you cheated also a bit when you were kids, but I did. When it was said, now wash thyself properly, then I didn't always do it the way it should have been done. Here it shall be a full bath, a washing of water in the Word of God. The Lord says, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. The word of the Lord. For us it became a bath in the water, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, then washed in the water of the word. And it didn't stop here, but as written here, and I anointed thee with oil. Wonderful. Redemption. Washing. Anointing with oil. Today is the day of Pentecost, the day on which the Holy Ghost was poured out, the 50th day. And you all know what the 50th day means. Recently, I have spoken about the 50th year, about the year of Jubilee. And on this occasion, I would like to really emphasize and say it clearly again, that I never meant a year by that, but the divine period of time in the plan of salvation until the return of Jesus Christ. Not that anyone would do anything else out of it. Now to the word from 2 Chronicles chapter 6. 2 Chronicles chapter 6. Here is the dedication prayer of Solomon, and I would like to read the last verses of this chapter from verse 34. If thy people go out to war against their enemies by the way that thou shalt send them, and they pray unto thee toward this city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name, then hear thou from the heavens their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause. Before I read on, let me emphasize. If thy people go out by the way that thou shalt send them, not on their own way, but on the way of the Lord, according to the divine instruction, then hear thou from the heavens their prayer and their supplication and maintain their cause. Then verse 36, if they sin against thee, for there is no man which sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them over before their enemies, and they carry them away captives unto a land far off or near, yet if they bethink themselves in the land whither they are carried captive, and turn and pray unto thee in the land of their captivity, saying, we have sinned, we have done amiss, and have dealt wickedly. If they return to thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their captivity, whither they have carried them captives, and pray toward their land which thou gavest unto their fathers, and toward the city which thou hast chosen, and toward the house which I have built for thy name, then hear thou from the heavens, even from thy dwelling place, their prayer and their supplications, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people which have sinned against thee. God has taken care for everything. First, for the requirement when we walk on His way, have success, celebrate victories, when God can be with us and the enemies are conquered. We speak here spiritually. This is one thing. The second, when we were disobedient, when we ourselves get into captivity, when we are no longer master of the situation and of ourselves, also then God made a way. At all times, at all places, in every situation, we can call upon the name of the Lord our God. And He promised from heaven to hear and to answer and to help us to our right. That's how we read it. And what is our right? Our right is the right of God in us, that God comes to His right in us. It's of course written, shall not the Lord avenge His own elect who cry day and night unto Him? Yes, He will do it. And behind that, the words are written shortly. If everyone would get their own right, this would be a chaos, because everyone has his own wishes and is always right in his own eyes. In divine things, there's no own right. We even have to give up our rights that we have or could claim, so that God can come to His right. Further is written here, verse 40, now my God, Let, I beseech thee, thine eyes be open, and let thine ears be attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. Now therefore, arise, O Lord God, into thy resting place, thou and the ark of thy strength. Let thy priests, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation, and let thy saints rejoice in goodness. O Lord God, turn not away the face of thine anointed. Remember the mercies of David, thy servant. This was not a prayer with the intellect. This was a prayer worked by the Spirit from the bottom of the heart. And I think that we can pray in the same way. Just imagine, in the Old Testament, the priests had their clothes, but Solomon didn't pray, Lord, make them go in priestly garments. But he prayed, let thy priests, O Lord my God, be clothed with salvation. What was the thought behind this? The thought was, after the Ark of the Covenant was put upon its place, and the priests were not priests of Israel, but priests of God. And as priests of God, they could clothe themselves in the salvation of God. And this already in the Old Testament. What shall be with us in the New Testament? Everyone can wear any robe and doing as he would be a priest. Lord, let thy priests be clothed with salvation, and let thy saints rejoice in goodness. Already in the Old Testament it is written, there will be priests of God. Do you know? This is written in the prophet Hosea. A wonderful word. All these things were already foretold. At every thought, you could stop and add other scriptures to it. Here, the emphasis, now, my God, let, I beseech thee, thine eyes be open, and let thine ears be attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. It was the place where the Ark of the Covenant was, which was carried there. The Word of God was put in its place, in the most holy place. And there, where the Word of God is put upon its right place, there God speaks, there God answers. There we have fellowship with Him, and He has fellowship with us. There God has His resting place. And it is written, cause the weary to rest. God has given rest to His people. And this rest is for all who want to enter in it. And then, thou and the ark of thy strength. Let thy priests, not our priests, let thy priests, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation, and let thy saints rejoice in goodness. In the new covenant, we are a people of kings and priests, and the priests were consecrated, they were washed, they were clothed, they were anointed. We are a people of priests, kings to our God. May the holy anointing of which we have sung become reality in our lives. Do you believe that it can happen? It happened already. The Spirit of God is poured out. We just need to open ourselves to receive what God has prepared for us. Now, to the New Testament scripture. Please pardon me. From the book of Acts, chapter 2, the well-known verses. Acts, chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? Maybe so far this precious and holy word of God. Here, the outpouring of the Spirit took place. It didn't start among them. It came down from above. They were touched. They were filled. And then they were part of this great experience. Beloved, we are longing with all our hearts for a scriptural filling with the Holy Ghost. Oh, that God would come down and that He would lean down towards us and would give us the same experience as then at the beginning. You all know, we believe in it, that at the end Everything must be the way as it was at the beginning. And by the Spirit of God, everything will be put together, because it is written in 1 Corinthians 13, by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, and we are all baptized in one Spirit. And already in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God speaks through the prophet Isaiah. He makes us drink of the river of thy pleasures. The word of God was fulfilled, became reality. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit is just as real as the crucifixion and the resurrection and the ascension, divine reality. God took dwelling in his church, for he says, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And here we come again, almost back to last night. God is a living God. He doesn't dwell in buildings which are made by men, but as it is written, ye are the temple of the Holy Spirit, ye are the temple of God. And the temple of God is not a dead building, but living children of God, in whom the living and risen one can dwell and work as he likes. And this is where our longing goes. And as Brother Branham said it, probably in the film text, if God has laid a longing into our hearts, then of course most certainly to satisfy it. God is able to satisfy our longing. In the past, many had an experience with God, and this shall not be disputed. We are grateful for it. Today, the experiences with God continue. It goes beyond that. But listen, what is being said now? It doesn't go over it. It only goes a little further. And this we emphasized already last night. Not only the mouth, but the eyes, the body of the Lord comes now to its completion, to the perfect maturity. It is a prophetic age. And God has sent a seer who got divine visions and revelations to tell the people of God of what it is all about in this time. And now God anoints our eyes. Why is it written in the last church age message that we should ask God that he may give us eyeself? For what eyeself? So that we get the prophetic view to see the word of prophecy clear, which shines on a dark place as a bright light. Right at the end, it's no more written, anoint our lips so that we can say much, but anoint our eyes. Eyeself. For what eyeself? To see that what the seer of God has seen, to hear that what he proclaimed. There the Spirit of God comes upon the church, and we see with anointed eyes the anointed and revealed word. And we ourselves are anointed with this holy divine anointing of which we have sung, holy anointing, remain resting on me. How many understand of what it is all about? End time. Prophetic age in which we are living, fulfillment and realization of the plan of salvation of our God. We are in the midst of the development of the last things that God does in his church. We stand in the middle of the divine reality of the last days. And for this we are grateful. Last night we spoke about the divine reality. Jesus was divine reality in the shape of a man. Everything about him, with him, was and is divine reality. Also the church is divine reality. At the beginning, it could not be denied. She was divine reality here on this earth. The church of the living God must once again become such an institution and a reality that cannot be ignored. And if we all have believed that we are no longer observers, but we're placed into the kingdom of God, then we too have to expect the blessings from God, each for himself personally, and claim them by faith. No one should stay behind now. Now it's about the third exodus, about the last exodus. And we make ourselves ready to go out. The Lord knows when this will happen. I'm glad that Moses said at the time when Pharaoh negotiated with him that at least something should remain behind. He was thinking, if the Israelites leave something behind, then they probably will return again. And then Moses said these meaningful words: there shall not an hoof be left behind. There was nothing anymore that they should have returned. Beloved, nobody should be left behind. It's really the end of all things. The finishing of the time of grace, the calling out, the completion, the preparation. And we need the divine power in this mortal body so that it can be swallowed up by immortality, and that we then can be with the Lord at all times. At Pentecost, it happened. Today, it can again happen. God will satisfy the longing of our hearts. From the same chapter, Acts chapter 2, from verse 33, here it says, "Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this, which ye now see and hear." The thought for me in this verse is about "which ye now see and hear." There was something to see. There was something to hear. An outpouring of the Spirit doesn't happen in silence. The upper room was not a cemetery. This was the place on which the New Testament church was filled with a divine life, and it overflowed. What you see and hear here was the result of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Beloved, I'm longing with you for such an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Where not only something can be heard, but where something can also be seen. Everywhere there, where the Lord works, there something can be heard and seen. And if you pardon me, actually one doesn't have to apologize, but we can thank God for it. There was not one meeting in which Brother Branham served where not something divine was seen and was heard. Beloved, God is alive. He testifies of himself in the same way as at the beginning. In this generation, after almost 2,000 years, the divine proof has been given to us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And this strengthens our faith and our confidence toward the living God, now at the end of these days. Through the body of the Lord, God will make the finishing in this last time. From now on, we have to get used to the thought that God will make everything that is still outstanding a reality in the church and through the church. Every promise becomes reality through its fulfillment. And Paul writes in 2 Corinthians in chapter 1, in verse 20, "All promises of God are yes and amen, but through us, in Jesus Christ our Lord." God has a body, and he makes use of this body. And in this body are many members with various tasks. And now, let no one evade the divine responsibility, but everyone shall face his God and say, "Lord, place me through your Spirit into your body, for I want to have a part in that what you are doing now." And then we can walk forward happily, knowing the greatest and glorious is yet to come. Hallelujah. Have you all been strengthened in the faith? God is with his people. That's how he said it. And that's how we believe it. And then we ask with Gideon, if he is with us, where are then all his miracles and all his signs? He already testified of himself, and he will do greater things. Blessed and praised be his name. Amen. Amen. Let us stand up and pray. We want to bow our heads, closing our eyes, opening the hearts, looking up to the Lord in faith, letting the Spirit of God work in us. I feel a devotion, a consecration, a holy atmosphere in our midst. The clouds that darkened the sun have lifted. The sun of righteousness breaks forth with healing under its wings. On the day of Pentecost, people consecrated their lives to God. The Spirit of God was at work. Today we are longing for the same experience, and God wants to give it to us. Before we pray together, I would like to ask whether somebody is here who would like to dedicate his life to God. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Today, if God calls you, obey him. He has given the promise. Whoever seeks me with all his heart, he will be found of you. Now it can be, as all heads are bowed, all eyes are closed, I would like to ask whether somebody wants to be included into this prayer. Then just raise briefly your hand and put it down again. Thank you. Thank you. The Lord sees the hands. Heavenly Father, I thank you with all my heart for your precious and holy word. Beloved Lord, it is as if we were standing on holy ground. Lord, the place on which you speak is consecrated, and we bow ourselves before you, the Almighty God, and we thank you that you are still speaking with us, and that your Spirit is still at work in us. Beloved Lord, we lay before you the remaining time fully. Take us as we are. Use each one of us wherever you have placed him. And if it's for a testimony, we pray for all who have raised their hands. whose hearts are beating toward you. O faithful Lord, save, forgive, bless from the riches of your grace. O God, you are present. Hallelujah. Praise be to you. Praise be to you. O God, bless also all whom you blessed already. And Lord, anoint us. Anoint our eyes so that they see, and then the lips so that they speak what they have seen. O God, O God, I thank you and worship you in Jesus' holy name. Hallelujah. We sing together a song, song number 7. Lord, you have done great things in us. Jubilating in the dust, we worship you. Song number 7. We praise the might of your grace. You, the friend of our soul. Glory to you, Jesus alone. Glory to you, Jesus alone. All who have breath, tune in. Glory to Jesus. Yes, Jesus alone. You are the crown of your children. Showing yourself to everyone who believes, walking amidst your own, so that everyone feels your presence. Glory to you, Jesus alone. King of the hearts, you purchased us, and you baptized us with a spirit and with fire. Take us all with body and soul. We are forever yours, Emmanuel. Glory to you, Jesus alone. Go through the lands, O Savior of the world. Bend down what opposes you. Wake the sleeping sinners quickly. Thy reward will be given to you. Glory to you, Jesus alone. Glory to you, Jesus alone. Everything what has breath, tune in. Glory to Jesus. Yes, Jesus alone. This alone will be glory. This alone will be glory. When free from woe, I shall see your face. When free from woe, I shall see your face. Heavenly Father, thank you and worship. Also, this is reality. We shall see your face, and you will wipe away all the tears from our eyes. All this is reality. The new Jerusalem is reality. Oh God, what a grace, what a privilege that you saved us, that you have spoken with us, and that you revealed yourself to us. Faithful Lord, we are waiting until you fulfilled the last things. No promise will remain unfulfilled. Each one will become divine reality. Thank you. Thank you. Praise, honor, and glory and worship forever. Hallelujah. Amen.